Very good evening to you all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. By Lord's grace, we're going to continue our basic class. So last week we studied about the gospel. So can anybody tell me what is the gospel? Anybody? Anil brother, Sunita sister, Anu sister, Munna sister, Joel brother, Kamal brother, what's the meaning of gospel in the Bible?
Gospel is not about only New Testament, but it's about entire Old Testament.
Very good. Okay. Then? To whom was the gospel first preached?
Abraham.
Abraham.
Very good, brother. Very good. Very good, sister. Good. So what did God preach to Abraham? What did God tell to Abraham?
From thy seed all nations to be blessed.
Very good, sister. So that's the gospel. So in Abraham's seed, in Christ, the whole world shall be blessed. See, God took a oath upon himself. He took a promise upon himself. You see, will God ever tell a lie?
No. No, brother.
No. He will not even joke also. So, just imagine, if God has made a oath upon himself, then how can we claim, how can the whole world claim that only few Christians will be saved and the rest of the people will be tortured in hell? That is not the gospel at all. The gospel means through Christ, each and every mankind will be saved. They shall understand and accept Christ. What does the Bible say? Every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And that is sure to happen. The word of God will definitely be fulfilled. Very good. Anyway, good. Excellent. Thank you. Good that you're all understanding the word of God very nicely. And with the help of Brother Gopal's Nepali, translation also. So good. So today, we are going to study a very, very important topic today. See, and this topic is about the faith. You see, so only those who have faith on the Bible will really be edified by this subject. So today, I request everybody to just go through each and every verse which I tell from the Bible. Kindly open the Bible and understand, because this is a very important matter, and this is regarding our salvation. So faith. So what is the meaning of faith in the Bible? If you see, the whole world has different types of faith. The Muslims have a faith. You see, they have a faith that they should offer prayers to their God at least 2 times a day without fail. And even, you see, the Hindus have faith that in a cow, you see, there are, crores and crores of their gods. And they believe that, the cow's urine is very holy. And by sprinkling it all over their house, it gives a, sanctification effect. And if a man drinks it, he will be cleansed of all, his sins. So that is their faith. Though it might not be acceptable to us, yet that is the faith, their faith. Therefore, you see, dear brethren, even the Christians also have faith. And their faith is on the Bible. See, none of us have seen God, none of us have seen Jesus Christ, but yet we have faith that Jesus is our Lord and the Savior. And this faith in the Bible is called as the most holy faith. So kindly read Book of Jude, verse 20. Book of Jude, verse 20. Can somebody read, brother? Any brothers or sisters? Yes. Read, Anil, brother. Sunita, sister, you can read.
But yeah, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Very good. So, build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build up yourself in the most holy faith. So, here, You see, Apostle Jude tells that you should be established in the most holy faith. So, if the faith on the Bible is called as the most holy faith, then what is the definition of the faith in the Bible? That is given to us in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Like, for example, the creation of this universe. We never seen who created it, you see. We never have proof of it also, but yet we believe and we have faith that these things are, you see, being created by God. So this is faith. So believing on the things which we don't see, which we cannot see, is called as faith in the Bible. Okay, that's what Hebrews 11:3 also says. So in this faith, if you see, there are actually three types of faith. One is a day-to-day faith, you see. And the second is a, you see, saving faith. So the first type of faith is a day-to-day faith. So day-to-day faith means in day-to-day activities, you see, so God shall, you see, protect us and God shall save us and God shall overrule everything for us. You see, this is, you see, the day-to-day faith. So this one, everybody has. Every human being, you see, has this faith. Like, for example, you see, even a very poor man who does a small business, like, for example, take it, selling peanuts on the roadside or selling some old, you see, papers and books on the roadside. Imagine today the expenses are so high that even after working hard and earning a good salary, it's difficult to maintain the family. But yet they have the faith that even by selling peanuts, making a small margin, they can sustain their life. That is the faith on their God. So this is called as a day-to-day faith. And the next faith is saving faith. So what is the meaning of saving faith? After we die, God will save us. See, every religion believes this one. Every religion, you take any religion in this world, though it be Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, Jains, everybody believe that after death, they will go to heaven. So everybody goes to heaven means who will go to hell? That's a big question. We're going to see all these things in coming days. But every beggar, you go and ask for a beggar. You ask him after death, where you will go? You'll tell, I'll go to heaven. You see? You go and ask for a thief or a murderer, you'll tell, oh, I'll go to heaven after my death. But then this is their faith that after death, God will save us. So the third type of faith is the doctrinal faith. The faith which is based on the doctrines is called as the doctrinal faith. So today in Christianity, we have more than 750 denominations in Christianity. You see, Catholic, Protestants, you see, Pentecostal, in Pentecostal, Ceylon Pentecostal, various types of Pentecostal, you see, the Presbyterian, Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, only Jesus, Trinitarians, you see, Episcopal, Evangelical, so various types of denominations are there. Among all these denominations, which is correct? You see, the Roman Catholics also have faith. You see, they have faith by doing some relics, by doing some rituals, doing some orthodox things. They believe that they will be saved, like doing rosary or offering incense, you see, and taking the bread and wine every now and then, every day. They believe that that is their faith. You see, so what does the Bible say? Which is the truth? Among all this faith, which is the truth? Jesus said that this is the truth. You know, what is it one? Thy word is truth. Read John 17:17. Anumagar, can you read? John 17:17. Anumagar, sister, can you read?
Thank you.
Is that John 17:17, sir?
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Very good. Thy word is truth. Thy word. God's words is the truth. So, if you see among all this denomination, which is the truth? The Bible is the truth. So, Bible is the touchstone. See, whenever we hear something, rather than just believing it blindly, we need to verify from the scriptures if it is so or not, if it is true or not. Therefore, Jesus said, what did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. You see, John 8:32. So, this truth, this word of God, how did God give? Did God give it in just a single day? Did God give this book directly from heaven? No. You see, God used more than 40 authors for a period of more than nearly 4,000 years to write this holy Bible and gave it to us. So let us read Hebrews 1st chapter verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 1st chapter verses 1 and 2. Joel, brother, can you read?
God, who at sundry times and divers manner spake in time past unto the Father by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed her heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
Very good, brother. See, God, who at sundry times, that means who at different times and in different ways has spoken to the fathers and the prophets is himself. So how did God speak and write the Bible through the prophets and God's children? It is not at a single time. It is not in a single way. Dear brethren, God spoke through prayers, to situations, you see, through visions, through dreams. You see, various things God has spoken through his prophets, dear brethren. So, among all these things only, through all these mediums only, God has given the Bible. He even spoke to the tabernacle. You see, he even spoke to the dreams which he gave to God's children, dear brethren. So, how did this truth come at last? What does that verse say in Hebrews 1:1? Who at sundry times spoke in different manner in the last days, that means at the last of all, he has spoken through his Son. So through Jesus Christ, God has spoken this truth, this word of God to Hazrat Simsa. You see, therefore, you know, Jesus said clearly in John 1:17 that the law was given by Moses. You see, God gave the law through Moses. But what did Jesus give? Jesus gave the truth. That doesn't mean that there was no truth before Jesus Christ. There was truth, but all the things which were hidden in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ brought it to complete truth. You see, we have got a lot of examples in the Bible. Like for example, Daniel, who spoke so many visions, prophecies in the book of Daniel. At last, in the Daniel 12 chapter, he says, Lord, I understood nothing. He questions the Lord. Lord, please tell me, what is the meaning of all these things which you told me to write and reveal? But God did not allow him to understand those things. So let us read Daniel 12 chapter verse 8 and 9, brother. Daniel 12 chapter verse 8 and 9. Munna sister, can you read?
And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of end.
You see, I heard, but I understood not. You see, I heard, but I understood not. God, you told me to write, I have written, but I understood none of these things. What is the meaning of these things? What did God say? It is sealed till the time of the end. These truths Jesus came and revealed everything. You know? Huh? Therefore, Jesus spoke in parables. You know? Many, you see, things Jesus spoke in parables. And disciples came and questioned him. Lord, why are you speaking in parables, sir? Why are you speaking deep and dark sayings? Why don't you speak clearly, openly? You know, what is the reply what Jesus gave? Read Matthew 13 chapter verse 10 and 11. Matthew 13 chapter verse 10 and 11. Romister, can you read?
Okay, brother. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know that the mystery of the kingdom of the heaven, but to them it is not given. Amen.
See, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, it was completely kept secret. Jesus opened it. Jesus taught this truth to his disciples. What did Jesus say? It is given unto you, not to everybody. Not everybody. You see, not to all the people of Israel. No. It is only to you because you have that interest and curiosity to know about God's truth and God's plan. Therefore, you see, this truth, how did it come? You see, God spoke through various prophets, various God's children in different ways. Ultimately, through Jesus, he spoke. And from Jesus, it was passed on to his disciples. Jesus said that to his apostles. He said, unto you, the apostles, is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, what authority or how much authority did God give the apostles? You see, they were given full, complete authority regarding the truth, regarding the doctrines of the Bible. Read Matthew 18:18. Roshan, brother, can you read? Matthew 18:18. Roshan, brother, you're there? Can you read? Roshan and Kamal. Okay. Okay, somebody else can read. Anybody who can read?
I will.
Okay, Esther, please.
Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall be on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
So this was the authority that was given to the disciples. That the apostles, if they bound something on earth, it was like binding in heaven. You see? Now, what is this one? This binding? We also told, whatever you lose on earth, it is like losing in heaven. So, what is the meaning of this one? Binding and losing. What is the meaning? What is it trying to tell? Did Jesus say that you should bind all your treasures here? You should all keep your wealth and all nicely bind up? Huh? What is Jesus spelling about this? Worldly things. Read next verse, sister. Continue. 19. Verse 19. Next verse. Sister, you can read verse 19. Oh, okay, you can open the Bible and read.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
So this was not regarding any earthly things. It was upon agreeing something on earth. That means if all the apostles agreed something on earth regarding some doctrines, regarding some truth, regarding something in the Bible, it was like God approving their teachings. So here, the binding and losing is regarding the doctrines and not about the worldly things. Okay, now let us see an example about, binding, putting restrictions in the church. You see, letting loose means giving liberty in the church. You see, there is lot of liberty, lot of restrictions in the church. Correct, no? Huh? Isn't it? See, can we do anything in the church? Can we do anything in the gathering? Is there a discipline or not? Tell me.
Yes.
Yes. We can't do anything in the school. You see, when everybody puts shoes and come, I can't tell to the teacher, no, I won't wear shoes. I will put the shoes on my head and come. You see, nobody will agree that one. There is a discipline. There is a decorum. That is what Jesus is saying. See, when I go, you begin to establish the churches all over the world. If you all agree upon a certain point, certain doctrine that it should be like this, it is like God approving the doctrine. Like, for example, you see, let me ask you a question. Can sisters preach in the church? So what's your opinion? Can sisters preach in the church, brother? Brothers and sisters? Your majority are sisters only. Now, sisters, tell me, please. Sunita sister, Anu sister, Munna sister, Romy sister, Kamal sister. Everybody tell me. Can sisters preach in the church? Yes or no?
Only few nowadays.
Only few nowadays. Good sister. Good sister. Okay. Thank you. Sunita sister, what's your view? Oh, Sunita sister, you're there? Anu sister? Munna sister, tell me.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Okay. Maybe or maybe not. Okay. Good. Then Kamal, Roshan, Kamal. Okay. Joel brother, what's your opinion? Can sisters preach or not?
No, not.
Okay. Not. So, okay. So, why so much of difficulty? Huh? Correct, no? So, let us see what does the Bible say. Correct, no? See, whenever we have a question, we need to search the answers from the Bible. Correct, no? For the Bible, which is the dictionary?
Bible itself.
Very good, sir. For the Bible, Bible is the dictionary. Any question we get, you see, we need to search immediately the Bible. Okay? Not search the Google. Huh? So Google sometimes will give false information also. Okay? So now let us search the Bible and see what is the answer for this one. You see, read 1 Corinthians 14 chapter 34 to 37. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, sorry, 1 Corinthians 14 chapter 34 to 37. Munna sister, can you read 1 Corinthians 14 chapter 34 to 37, sister, please.
Let your woman keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience.
What, sister? Sister, read it correctly, sister. What's the yourselling? Sister should not?
Not speak.
That means they should scream loudly. Yeah? Okay, not speak, okay. So slowly they won't speak, but loudly they can speak, no?
No.
No. You read correctly, please. I am very old man, not able to listen properly. Read that verse again, let me see loudly.
Let your woman keep silence in the church.
Let the woman keep
silence.
Silence. Just see, dear brethren, if woman is not permitted to even speak in the church, is it proper to preach? Now continue, sister.
But they are commanded to be under obedience. As also saith the law.
As also saith the law. That means what Apostle Paul was telling here was not something new. It was already written in the law. Therefore, if you see in the law, in the Old Testament, none of the women were permitted to preach in the temple. Was somebody were permitted? You see, any of the women were permitted to preach in the temple? No. None of the women were permitted to preach in the temple. You see, they spoke God's words, but preaching was different. They witnessed about God, Naaman's servant. She witnessed about God. You see, Rahel, Leha, Rebecca, they all witnessed about God. That doesn't mean that they preached the word of God. There's a lot of difference between witnessing. You see, so many sisters do witnessing activity. That is not a difference than leading the church and preaching the brethren. We need to make a difference clearly. Therefore, in the days of Apostle Paul and all, there were a lot of sisters. And even during the days of Jesus, also, there were a lot of sisters who were supporting Jesus Christ in his spiritual activity. You see, dear brethren, so this verse clearly says that women should not speak. They are commanded to be silent in the church. Okay, continue, sir. Continue, please continue, sir.
And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is the same for woman to speak in the church.
Very good, sir. See, what does he say? If she has got anything to ask, she can definitely go and ask, you see, the husband in the church. Okay. So, he says, it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. That means a woman can't sing. Women can't pray. You see, they can sing songs. You see, but they are not permitted to preach. They are not permitted to lead a church. Okay? But some people will claim, you see, brother, all these things are old, brother, theory. These are old, brother. Those days and all, there used to be a lot of discrimination between male and female, man and woman. So women were very suppressed. That's the reason Apostle Paul wrote. No. Bible is never outdated. You see, who is the word of God? Who is called as the word of God in the Bible? Tell me. Whose name is the word in the Bible?
Jesus.
Very good, sir. Now, can we ever tell that Jesus is outdated? Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday. Jesus is the same today. Even tomorrow, he'll remain the same. The word of God never changes. What did Apostle Paul and what did Jesus say? You see, in Revelation, what did Jesus say? If any man adds anything, if any man subtracts anything, I will, plague him. Dear brethren, we're not supposed to add anything. Therefore, if the Apostle Paul bound this one as a discipline in the church, it is equivalent to God putting a commandment that this has to be implemented in the church. Now continue, sir. Please continue.
What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any...
See, some people tell, no, word of God has come separately to me. God has spoken to me. He spoke to me. Sister Rebecca, I am no, you are there in the crowd. God is calling you. God has specially chosen you for a service. Come on the stage. You should preach the word of God. If somebody tells like that, what does Apostle Paul say? What? The word of God came separately to you, specially to you. Isn't it the same Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit has spoken the same thing many thousands of years before, do you think the Holy Spirit will change the doctrine now? No. Do you think the Holy Spirit will change the doctrine in the future? No. It is the same Holy Spirit and the teachings will remain the same. There won't be any changes because our God never changes. Continue, sister.
If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
If anybody tells, no, I'm anointed with the Holy Spirit, God has separately spoken to me that these things to be done, means what does Apostle Paul say? If you think you're a spiritual, you're anointed man, First, this basic thing, this simple thing has to be implemented in all the churches, which is very, very small little thing. If you can't implement this small little thing in a church, that means it is a clear sign that you don't have the Holy Spirit. This is not the Holy Spirit's work at all. What does it say? If any man thinks to be a prophet or a spiritual, if you're anointed with the Spirit, first acknowledge this thing, that it is not Apostle Paul's teaching. This is the commandment of the Lord. God himself has written this one. This has to be, you see, this is the same thing mentioned in the law. Therefore, in the tabernacle, how many priest women, you see, worked? How many Levi women worked? Only male. Female assisted them, not inside the tabernacle. No, outside. Lot of other activities are there for the sisters to do. But then preaching is the last thing. And that has to be, that is reserved totally, you see, for the brothers. Read verse 33. Read verses 33, sister. Same chapter, verse 33.
For God is not author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
See, as in all churches, not only few church, not only in our church. If it is God's church, it will be implemented. Because God is not a God of confusion. No, why she should not preach? Correct, no? Read 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 11 to 14. 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 11 to 14. Who can see? Sunita Astor, can you read? Sunita Astor, you're there. Can you read 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 11 to 14?
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to
usurp
authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Sister, what does he say? She should not speak, means what? Not even open the mouth for singing songs in the church. When everybody is singing in the choir, she has definitely got the opportunity to speak. But what does the Bible say? Not to speak means not allowed to teach. Not allowed to, you see, exercise authority over the man as a leader, as a pastor. You see, she is not permitted to lead a church. This is the meaning, to remain silent. You see, if she is given an opportunity to pray, you see, she can sing songs with everybody. If the opportunity is given to read the Bible, of course, we can do all these things. But there are a lot of discipline. Even these things has to be implemented. Why? Why does God not allow women to preach? Continue, sir. From where you stopped, continue.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Because who was deceived? Satan, whom did he deceive first? Did he deceive Adam? Adam knew very well that I'm going to die. But he deceived Eve. So woman is a weaker vessel. Easily she can be entrapped by the devil. Therefore, God avoided them to speak in the churches. Therefore, you see and observe, Satan's tool he has used in all the religions. Maximum he has used, you see, women. You see all the gods and all. Who are there? Are male? No, male and only female are there. You see, why? That is the tool of the devil, brethren. So, the sisters has to be very careful. So, brother, then the sister, she doesn't have any other work in the church. No, she's got a lot of opportunities. Lot of things are there, dear brethren. You see, she can help and assist her brethren. You see, maintain cleanliness in the church. You see, sing songs. You see, read the Bible. So encourage the brethren, encourage the children to nurture them in Christ. And even she can make her calling and election sure as equal to a brother. regarding heavenly salvation, there is no differentiation at all. She will also get the same reward as a brother will get. But only thing that she has to be under subjection. You see, read Galatians 3, 28. Galatians 3, 28. Anu sister, can you read? Anu sister, you're there? Can you read? Galatians 3, 28.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
See, there is no differentiation. Color, creed, caste, you see, nation, community. No, not even gender. Everybody are equal in heavenly salvation. But regarding the discipline in the church, if Apostle Paul has bound, it is like God bounding. So this is the meaning of binding, putting restrictions, strong restrictions in the church. You see, now let us see the example of losing. That means there are some liberties in Christianity. Isn't it? Yes, there are liberties. Like for example, can we call somebody as father? Can we call anybody as father? Like a pastor, can we call a pastor or a brother as a father? Can we call them?
No.
No. Why? Read Matthew 23, 9 and 8. Matthew 23rd chapter, verse 9 first, then verse 8. Can you read from the Bible? I think.
And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ.
See? So we shouldn't call nobody as father except our earthly father. We should not go and call anybody as father. Imagine, see, I also take classes. I also preach word of God. If anybody... What? If everybody comes and calls me as father, is it correct? Is it a right term to call me as a father? You see, my wife, she'll feel bad. See, that's not a proper thing to call anybody as father. Why? Though we may teach, though we may preach, we are all equal in God's sight. We are all supposed to be called as brothers and sisters. Read verse 8, brother, now.
But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren.
All you are brethren. Underline it. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all equal, though we may be, you see, many years in the truth, though you all may be just few months in the truth, we are all equal. No partiality, nothing. So this is the meaning of binding. Okay? Let us see one more example. Okay, can we call somebody as reverend? You know, so many people have the titles now. Reverend, Reverend Holy Father, Reverend so-and-so. Can we call somebody as reverend? Okay, let us see from the Bible. Psalms 111 verse 9. Psalms 111 verse 9. Roman sister, can you read? Roman sister, you're there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Psalms 111, verse 9.
He sent a redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name.
Holy and reverent is whose name? God's name. So that's the title of our Almighty God. Can we imagine that man can ever be equal to God? You see, First of all, man was created much lower than the angels. And that was speaking about a perfect man. But we are fallen man. You see, dear brethren, then how can we be equal to God? How can we ever think of being equal to God? This is the same spirit of the devil. What did he say in Isaiah 14 chapter? I will sit on the congregation of the north. I will be like the Most High. This is not what the Bible tells the brethren. None of the brothers or sisters should have title next to their name. Whatever work we do, that is our sacrifice to the Lord. It is not title. Not even the word pastor should be next to us, dear brethren. We are all equal. See, nowadays, there are a lot of titles. Prefix, you call it as prefix in the, you see, legal terms. You see, like for example, doctor, you see, Dr. Prasad. You see, doctor means they put DR in the starting and put the name. You see, professor, captain, general, sergeant, honorable chief justice, detective. Now, in all this prefix, there's nobody who's put a reverend or pastor and all these things are implemented by some Christians. We will see later all these things, when all these things came. But why this prefix are put, you know? Whenever we book a plane ticket or a train ticket, we usually have a waiting list. And in that waiting list, when the list is finalized, usually they give a preference for a doctor or a colonel or a military person or a chief justice in that waiting list. Why? Because such a big train, such a big plane carrying more than hundreds and thousands of people, if something happens, it is very easy to identify a doctor. It will be very easy to identify a police personnel because by him, so many lives can be saved. That is the reason they put prefix. But today, this has become a fashion. This is not what Bible says. And none is greater than our Lord. Our Lord never put any title or prefix before his name. Okay. Now, Pope, Papa. Pope is there now. You know what is the meaning of Pope in Latin? Pope is a Latin word. In Latin, it means Papa. Can we call a single person as Papa in this world? Dear brethren, this is against the Bible. Even today, Pope claims that Jesus gave him the two keys. You see, the two keys to heaven. Read Matthew 16 chapter. Matthew 16 chapter verses 18 and 19. Matthew 16 chapter verses 18 and 19. Joel brother, can you read Matthew 16, 18 and 19?
And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven.
See, again the same word. Loose in heaven, you see, loose on earth. Bind in heaven, bind in earth. So here, Jesus said, upon you I will build the church. Upon Peter, never the church was built. But the rock solid foundation doctrine of Peter, claiming that Jesus is the Son of God, upon this doctrine, the church was built. And he was given the authority, the keys of kingdom of heaven. Some people think that this is literal key of hell and heaven. No. You see, the key is generally used to unlock something. So, the doctrine of Peter, what he spoke, upon this doctrine, that Jesus is God's Son, the church stood. And the two keys given to him was, first, the door of opportunity was opened by Peter to the Jews. See, two keys were given. So one key, Peter used it to open the door of opportunity to the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got converted. Again, Peter used the same key after 3.5 years to open the door of opportunity to the Gentiles. This is the two keys they present. Okay, now let us come to example of losing. So whatever you lose on earth, it will be lost in heaven. So what is the meaning of lose? That means liberty. Now, are Christians permitted to marry or not? Can a Christian marry or not? Please tell me. Ajayya, nobody wants to marry. Okay. Let us read what the Bible says. Hebrews 13:4. Who can read? Hebrews 13:4.
I'll read that.
Please, sister.
Honorable in all, and undefiled, but
warmongers
and adulterers, God will judge.
Okay, so marriage is honorable in all, so marriage is respectable. The first marriage in Garden of Eden was created by God. Then will God ever forbid and put a rule that you should never marry? You see? No. Okay. Now, can a bishop marry or not? At least answer me this question. Forget about others' marriage. At least can a bishop marry or not?
Yes.
He can marry. Yeah. What are you saying, like this one? Huh? Bishop can marry. Let us read in the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:2, brother. Read, Anil, brother. 1 Timothy 3:2.
A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach.
Husband of how many wife, brother?
One wife.
Then he can marry, but he should be only one wife, not multiple wife. So the Bible doesn't say that bishop should not marry. But today, how many bishops are married? Eh? Today, they put a restriction saying, oh, yo, bishop should never marry. Now, is this the doctrine of Christ? This is the liberty in Christ. You can use it. But speaking against these doctrines, is it the doctrine of Christ? Is it the most holy faith? Now read 1 Timothy 4 chapter verses 1, 2 and 3. Can somebody read 1 Timothy 4 chapter verse 1, 2 and 3? Munna sister, can you read?
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devil.
One minister. See, it says Apostle Paul clearly warned that in the later days they shall depart from the most holy faith. Faith, most holy faith. That's what we are reading now. And they'll give heed, ears, attention to doctrines of devilisms. Now you tell me, if the doctrine of devil has to be preached, now, where should the devil come and preach? You tell me, where should the devil come and preach? Will he, if he preaches in a temple, will the Christians listen? Tell me, if the devil goes and preaches in the temple or in the mosque, will the Christians listen?
No.
Then where should the devil come and speak?
Church.
What, brother, you're telling like this? Devil will come inside the church. Yes, he will not only come, he'll come and sit permanently, putting a throne. Keep your hand like this. We will come back again. Read Revelation 2nd chapter, verse 12. Revelation 2:12. Can somebody read? Revelation 2:12. Joel brother, can you read? Okay, Gopal brother, read Gopal brother.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things said he which had the sharp sword with two edges.
Continue. Verse 13 also continue, brother, please.
I know thy works, and when thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is.
Even where Satan's seat is. Church, Pergamos church, Satan is there, it seems. Put a seat, it seems. So, Satan in other temples and mosques will visit and go, but in the church, he will permanently sit there only. That's the reason Apostle Paul warned, in the later days, they will give ear to the doctrines of devil. Now, what is the doctrine of devil? We should know now. Let us read verses 2 and 3. Munna sister, please continue reading from where you stopped. 1 Timothy 4th chapter, verse 2 and 3.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Yeah, which is the first doctrine of the devil, forbidding to marry. Is it correct? Putting a rules. It's a suggestion. It's their liberty. If they want to marry, they can marry. If they want to not marry, it's up to them. Why do you compel not to marry? But today, which is the denomination which is forbidding compulsorily not to marry? You tell me. Is that a doctrine of Krishna? This is the doctrine of the devil. And next thing, abstain from meat, it seems. Now you tell me, Christians don't eat meat which day? Oh, I think in your country, you don't have that one. You see, Orthodox Christians, they don't eat meat on Friday. You know why? Friday, Jesus died on the cross. Oh, holy day, we should not eat. Even during the 40 days Lent period, they won't eat meat. These are all doctrines of the devil. God knew that Satan will definitely manipulate the Bible. He will change the Bible upside down. Therefore, God gave everything in writing. You see, you know what will happen? If just words pass on, lot of misunderstanding, miscommunication will come. Like for example, you see, one person was going on the road, it seems. And you see, a girl vomited. The vomit was very black. And she went on, passed this message to her friend. She told, yo, I saw a girl vomiting. It was very black. And further, she went and told some other person. And she told, I saw a girl vomiting. You see, it was very black like a crow. And the next girl, as she passed on the message, you know, how did it go? It went on in such a way that she told, yo, a girl vomited a crow, a black crow on the road. You see, this is the communication gap. God knew, if I don't give everything in writing, Satan will definitely manipulate the Bible. Therefore, God gave everything in writing. Therefore, we should have faith only on the Bible, not on the teachings of men. Jesus knew that the church will get corrupted. Satan will definitely use his all strength to corrupt the church. Jesus told and warned us regarding this one in two of his parables. We'll just finish it off in 5 minutes by reading these two of the parables. Kindly read Matthew 13, chapter 31 and 32. Matthew 13, chapter 31 and 32. Anybody can read? Joel, brother, please.
Another parable put the forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the bird of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof.
Very good, brother. See, we know this parable. Okay. You see, a man took a seed and sowed it in his field. We know the Son of Man, Jesus, he took the seed. That seed is the doctrine of faith of Christianity. Jesus said, no. We should have faith like a mustard seed. Understand, no? Mustard seed. Small faith. That was the faith of Christianity. Went and sowed in the world. What happened? That mustard seed, it began to grow into a herb. Then later became a big tree, it seems. Now you tell me, mustard plant, is it a plant or is it a tree? Mustard seed grows to be a plant or grows to be a tree?
Plant.
Plant. You see, it never grows to be a tree. That means this is an abnormal growth. The intention of Jesus sowing Christianity in this world was to select a little flock. Few interested Christians, that's all. But today, Christianity has become one of the greatest religions in the world. You know, the world's greatest collection of offerings happens, you see, you know where? Second is India, in Andhra Pradesh, Tirupati. You know, first, where it happens? The first highest collection in this world for offering happens in Vatican City, even today. You see? So, Jesus never intended the church to grow in such worldly ways. You see? So, what happened? The birds of the air came and nested in the branches. You see? The birds of the air means what? Jesus told in the parable of the sower, no? As it fell on the wayside, you see what happened? The birds of the air came and took the seed. Jesus clearly told that birds of the air are the devil. Read Matthew 13 chapter, brother. Matthew 13 chapter verse 19. Can somebody read Matthew 13, 19? Gopal brother or Ashish brother? Okay.
Here you did for the parable of the sower, where anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside.
See, for the Bible is a dictionary. Each and every answer for each and every word should be searched from the Bible. So in the Bible, birds means false doctrines or the devil. So what happened there? Satan came and nested in this mustard tree. What happened? Satan is not there in any temple. He is in all the churches. How? He is in all the churches through false doctrines. Read Revelation 18:2. Revelation 18:2. Revelation 18:2.
And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitations of devils, and the home of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
It has become the habitation of devils. Every foul spirit, not holy spirit, foul spirit. Cage of every unclean, hateful birds means doctrines. One more parable we'll read. Matthew 13:33. Matthew 13:33, brother. Anybody can read?
Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in their measure of meal till the whole was leaven.
See, the kingdom of heaven is like a leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So leaven in the Bible is what? Actually, if you add leaven or yeast to any of the food, it actually, what happens? You see, it spoils the food. So leaven in the Bible means false doctrines. Matthew 16:11, brother. Matthew 16:11. Who can read? Matthew 16:11. I'll go for the read.
How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?
See, the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees with the false doctrines, the false teachings. So, nobody would add false doctrines to the two doctrines. The church had three important doctrines, love, hope, and faith. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Can somebody read 1 Corinthians 13:13, brother? Can somebody read 1 Corinthians 13:13?
And now I begin faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of the of these is charity.
You see, now wait, what? Faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of all is love. Okay, these are the three important doctrines which was given to the church. What happened? A little bit of false doctrine was added to the love, hope, and faith. What is the love? Love your God with all the heart. Supreme love was there. But what happened? Slowly false doctrine was added. Everybody goes to church on weekdays. You see, Saturday or Sunday. Why? Taking the Bible very holy, they go. Why? Not because they love God. Because of fear. If we don't go to the church, what will happen? God will punish us. Something bad will happen in our life. Nobody has love at all in God at all. Read. Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah 29:13. Gopal brother, can you read Isaiah 29:13?
Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as the people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men.
See, this is what they fear, Lord, not love. Where is the true love upon God? You see, no love at all. That love fadeth away. Then, second one is hope. What hope was there in the original church? That if we suffer for Christ now, tomorrow we are going to reign with him. But today, forget about reigning with Christ. Nobody knows that Christ will ever reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And forget about suffering. Oh, we trust in the Lord. Every Sunday we receive blessings. All miracles should happen. No problem should be there in our life. Every comforts we should have. This is the hope today. Where is the sufferings for a Christian? Where is trials and testings in the life? This is totally gone. Read 2 Timothy 2:12, brother. 2 Timothy 2:12. Anybody?
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
If we suffer with him, where is sufferings? No sufferings at all. Leaven gone. Third one, faith. What is faith? Most holy faith. The faith on the Bible. Today, people are having more faith on the pastors and the preachers than on the Bible. What happened? The church got corrupted. Therefore, dear brethren, you see, the most holy faith, having faith on the word of God, trusting God's word is very, very important. So, kindly go through the YouTube link. YouTube, subject, kindly listen. I'll be sending the notes also. If you have any questions, any doubts regarding anything, you can definitely ask. Anybody?